Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Thrifty Thursday.
Thrifty Thursday.
Yes, it's back. We're praying for a thrifty Thursday. What does that mean? We're praying you just all the good things come. You know, all the good things. You get a raise. Everything's on sale today.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody drops a bag of money on your front porch.
Praise God.
See, it's a thrift. We're praying for it.
Praying for a thrifty Thursday.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Whoa, my soul. Oh, it's a thrifty Thursday.
Thrifty Thursday.
I'm feeling the anointing, Pastor Aaron.
I love it. Let's go. Praying for it. Pastor, yesterday we ended with a little bit of a teaser.
Yeah.
Because me and you had some thoughts that we didn't get to. We ran out of time. But today, let's get to them.
Yeah, because Pastor Jim's preaching a message called, What is the Greatest Miracle?
What's the greatest miracle?
And Jesus proves this in a situation that he finds himself in when he's preaching inside this home, and all of a sudden these people start tearing a hole in the roof, and they drop down a paralyzed man on a mat.
Yeah.
And this paralyzed man is like, heal me, please, heal me.
Yeah.
And then Jesus looks at him and says, Your sins are forgiven.
What?
But, oh, really? Well, thanks, Jesus. And then everybody's kind of ticked at Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So the Pharisees were indignant.
Yeah. There you go. So I want to kill you, Jesus. What a bunch of fools. And so they're like, that's what Jesus says. Okay, what's greater? To say your sins are forgiven or to tell this man to stand up and walk?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a rhetorical question because everybody knows the answer. It's greater for him to say your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons they killed him too.
Yeah.
It's because that's what made them more mad.
Yeah.
Because that was the greater thing. Like, is it greater for me to slap you across the face or to step on your toe?
Slap me across the face.
Yeah. And that's essentially what Jesus, they're mad because the greater thing has happened. He says your sins are forgiven. That's greater.
Yeah. And you can see this because we mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show this week, but there was so many people and even prophets in the Old Testament who would do a healing, even raise people from the dead, do these amazing miracles, but they didn't have the power to forgive someone's sins.
Yeah.
Only God had the power to forgive sins. And the Pharisees in this situation even said that only God has the power to forgive sins.
Because that's greater.
What they missed is that God was standing right there in the middle of them.
Yes.
In Jesus.
And to prove himself a totally, completely perfect.
Yeah.
He tells the man to stand up and pick up his mat and walk.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to do both.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the greater one was saying your sins are forgiven.
That's right.
The greatest miracle.
That's the greatest miracle.
Let's go to the message.
So we are saved by his life and also by his death. Peter preaching and says, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. It's amazing God's sovereign plan working with man's free will and evil intent brought about this great thing called our salvation. God predetermined it. He planned and purposed it, the death of Jesus. But Peter says, you're to blame for his death, for you took him by your lawless hands and crucified him and put this sinless man to death. You are to blame. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. But I want to take a little bit farther. You and I are to blame. Listen what it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Count the hours, O-U-R, and the we's, W-E. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Years ago, when I gave my heart to Christ, there was a popular song sung by Sandy Patty. and I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. I don't know if you remember that song. I'm dating myself a little bit, but some of you with gray hair nodding your head on that one. Here's some of the words to that song, "The Day He Wore My Crown." The city was Jerusalem. The time was long ago. The people called him Jesus. The crime was the love he showed. And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. He brought me love that only he could give. I brought him cause to cry. And though he taught me how to live, I taught him how to die. And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. I thank the Lord for the life of Jesus. And Jesus is still alive today, doing miracles. You and I are his greatest work. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and all things become new. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on that cross, not simply because the Jews gave him up, not simply because Pilate condemned him, not simply because the Roman soldiers crucified him, but Jesus died on the cross because of you and me and your sin and my sin. We are to blame. For the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're saved by his life. We're saved by his death. We are also saved by his resurrection, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Peter saying it was not possible for Jesus to stay in that grave. It was not possible for the Son of God that tasted death to remain dead. Why was it not possible? Two reasons. Because of the promise of God and because of the power of God. That's why it wasn't possible for Jesus to remain dead. Because of the promise of God, for the Father promised him that he would quicken him and make him alive and raise him up from that dead, and also by the power of God. God the Father sent his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came, and on that third day quickened him, made him alive, and Jesus, the Son of God, rose again from the dead. It was not possible for him to remain dead. Hallelujah. The Bible says, having loosed the pains of death. One translation put it this way, God broke the cords of death. Another translation put it this way, God untied the death ropes. He's all wrapped in death, and death had a power to it, but it was powerless compared to the power of the Holy Spirit. I heard one preacher try to illustrate how powerless the power of the enemy was, Satan's power was, to keep Jesus dead and in that grave. He talks about this majestic, kingly lion that saw a cave and went into the cave and fell asleep. And a spider said, I will keep that lion imprisoned in that cave. And so for hours, that spider worked and worked and worked and spun its web and closed up the mouth of that cave with his web. Then when the lion got hungry, it just began to wake up and aroused himself and shook himself and walked right through, never even feeling that spider web. Oh, the devil's power is like a spider web compared to the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came alive in that grave, that stone rolled away, not to free him, but to let us look in to see if he was still there. That stone couldn't hold him. The devil couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Nobody could hold him, because Jesus, the Son of God, rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are saved by his resurrection. Resurrection means Jesus is alive. The Bible says he presented himself alive by many infallible proofs, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Resurrection means that death is overcome. Because he rose from the dead, we know that the dead in Christ shall rise again. Resurrection means that the power of sin is broken. That resurrection power, the power of the Holy Spirit that quickened that dead body and brought it to life, that same Spirit dwells in you and dwells in me, and the power of sin can be broken by the power of the blood and the power of the Spirit.
This was a fantastic illustration to point out the fact that, like, there, anything that, like, the enemy tries to do, it just is always going to be just totally weak.
Yeah.
Fall short.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's never going to work.
Yeah. I loved that little story Pastor Tim shares there with the lion.
Yeah.
Crawls into the cave, and the spider's like, oh, I'm going to trap this lion. And he weaves the web. And
a stone.
The spider just walks right, or the lion just walks right through.
It makes me think of, too, like, they rolled a stone in front of the cave. A stone.
Yeah.
That man pushed to, like, hold Jesus in there.
Yeah, to hold God into a cave.
Didn't Jesus create that stone? That means he's greater than the stone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hilarious to think our attempts to hold God back could ever work.
Yeah. I love a really interesting phrase in Acts chapter 2. Peter is talking to the people, you know, the Holy Spirit just came down, day of Pentecost. Peter gets up to preach the message, over 3,000 people, and he's talking, you know, you put Jesus to death on the cross with the help of wicked men, you handed over God's ordained plan. And then he says, and God raised him from the dead, freed him from the agony of death. And this line, Pastor Luke, this line is awesome. Peter says, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Yeah.
It was impossible. All of the power of death and Satan, they were doing everything they could, and it was impossible.
If you think about death, Pastor Aaron, it is so powerful and 100% certain.
Yeah.
It's come for every single person.
Right.
It can't be defeated by any of us.
Yeah.
It's undefeated against humans for all of eternity.
Yeah.
For all of time now.
Yeah.
And it has a hold on us. That powerful, powerful thing. And Peter says it was impossible for death to hold him down.
Whoa. Man.
And it was as strong. Death was as strong as a spider web. Not very strong at all.
Not very strong.
Wow.
Whew. Man, that's so good.
That is really good.
Man, it makes me so full of joy and full of peace.
Yeah.
To think about, that's my king.
Exactly.
That's my king.
Exactly.
Man, that's some good stuff.
It is. We'll be that's right back stuff. Here, everybody. Friday.
Walking in his word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.